Church home, are we live? Here we are. Happy Sunday to each and every one of you. It is a Sunday morning to many of you. It is a Sunday night to many of you. It's a Sunday afternoon for some. Wherever you are in the world, welcome to Church Home. We are a global mobile church, and hopefully we are right in your home or at a park with you right now, or in your living room or in your condo, or in your dorm room. Pray that you are staying well during this global pandemic. And I appreciate everyone's effort. And by everyone, I mean everyone around the world. That's incredible. I'm really excited to share a message with you, a message of hope, a message of love, a message of goodness. We are dedicated here at Church Home to good news, and you've already seen we're also committed to functioning like a home and offering church in your home. So thanks to Colby, and thanks to the team that put that incredible description together of what we're about here at Church Home, what we're building. Again, if you would like to even consider or interested in at all about hosting church at home with a few of your friends, please let us know. Contact us. That would be awesome. You can go to churchhome.org and you can get more info and details or on the app. We're continuing a collection of sermons that we've titled Jesus On. And so we did the last couple of sermons or messages or moments we've had here at Church Home. We've done Jesus On Pain. I'd like to do a very unusual topic today, but an important one. I want to talk about Jesus On Judgment. Much has been made of these days and these times, these unprecedented minutes and moments that we are living. And many people have concluded, those who follow Jesus and worship Jesus, that this is in fact a time of judgment. And I'd like us to look at the words of Jesus, the lifestyle of Jesus, and see if we can figure out for ourselves, is in fact Jesus come to bring judgment on the earth? Or maybe has he come to bring something else all together? So we're going to read in a moment in Luke chapter 4. We're going to read a story about Jesus that is absolutely incredible. But before we do, I want to dedicate this sermon on this Sunday morning to the Black women of Church Home and to the Black women of the United States of America. I want you to know, as a pastor and as a white male, you are loved, you are seen, and this church and this community laments and grieves with Black women everywhere. I want to say specifically to Breonna Taylor's family, friends, loved ones, and boyfriend, we love you, and I have been praying for you daily. These are difficult days. Church Home, I want you to know that we are a place for people. We are about people. I told a friend of mine yesterday that my list is short. It goes like this: God and people. It's a very short list. It's a very simple list, but that is what I am about. And that is what we are about at Church Home. And the second on my list, which is people, where people are in pain and where there is injustice, and where there is systematic marginalization, it is there that Church Home will be present. That is our passion. And I hope today to show you even further how it is the passion of Jesus. Once again, I want to say thank you as the pastor of this community, and specifically to the Black women of this church. You have changed Church Home. In truth, our church would not be who she is today, may very well not even be actually in practice. We wouldn't possibly even exist without the passionate leadership, prayer, commitment of the incredible and amazing Black women of this church. I love you, and I say thank you, and I'm with you, lamenting and grieving and continuing to believe for Jesus kind of justice in the United States of America and around the world. Let me be clear, we are for all people. But in times of pain, times of marginalization, with Jesus, we are focused on and passionate about people who are, in fact, as we speak, being overlooked, dismissed, and treated as less than the incredible human beings they are, designed by the hands of God. Luke chapter 4 and verse 13. This message again is Jesus on judgment. Luke chapter 4 and verse 13 says this about Jesus, that finished the devil's harassment. It was the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness. So he stood off at a distance, that is the devil, retreating until the time came to return and tempt Jesus again. Verse 14 of Luke chapter 4 says, then Jesus, armed with the Holy Spirit's power, returned to Galilee, and his fame spread throughout the region. He taught in the synagogues, and they glorified him. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been raised, so this is again his childhood hometown, he went into the synagogue, as he always did on the Sabbath day. Jesus is a church guy, a temple guy, if you will. When Jesus came to the front to read the scriptures, it was the scroll of the prophet Isaiah they handed him. And from what best we can tell, he unrolled the scroll and chose what we call Isaiah chapter 61. In those days, they wouldn't have called it Isaiah 61. It just would have been a prophecy from Isaiah. But we now call it Isaiah 61 for our help and reference. And Jesus read this. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he has anointed me to be hope for the poor, freedom for the brokenhearted, or those crushed by injustice and tragedy, new eyes for the blind, to preach to prisoners, you are set free. Jesus continues to read and declares to those in the synagogue, those in the temple, I have come to share the message of Jubilee. Please hear these words today. For the time of God's great acceptance has begun. Jesus standing there reads, for the time of God's great acceptance has begun. After he read this, he rolled up the scroll, handed it back to the minister, and sat down. Everyone stared at Jesus, wondering what he was about to say. Listen to this. And this would be our last verse before we begin to unpack and explain and understand this further. Jesus says, these scriptures came true today right in front of you. In other words, he is the fulfillment of the prophecy thousands of years before that moment by the prophet Isaiah. Jesus is the fulfillment. Once again, this message is Jesus on judgment. Will you join me in prayer? God, thank you for the minutes and moments we share. We love you so much. Help us to encounter you in a real and tangible way today. Lord, specifically, I take a moment to pray for the extraordinary, wonderful, beautiful, and strong Black women of this community and church. I pray that you would bring comfort, that you would continue to encourage, protect, watch over, and keep the extraordinary Black women of this church. Thank you for your grace and for your love and for the minutes and moments we share. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. I do want to never forget to thank every first-time guest here at Church Home. It is not a lighter little thing to us or to me that you have taken time on a Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, or a Sunday night. Or if you're watching this later after it's been posted anytime during the week, thank you for taking your time, your most precious thing you have other than the people in your life is the time you have on this earth. Thank you for sharing that with us. We love you. Again, we pray that what you hear is good news today. Good, good news. Well, we had a very interesting summer as a family. Chelsea's parents, Chelsea's dad, is a miracle. Dad, if you're watching, I love you. Mom and Dad, Craig and Marilyn Smith, I love you so much. Dad, you're a miracle. My father-in-law had some medical complications that very well could have taken his life. He is alive and well. And that is an incredible miracle this summer for our family. Needless to say, it was an unusual summer as a result. And so we had spent some time apart, Chelsea with her parents, I was with the kids. Finally, towards the end of the summer, Chelsea and I had an opportunity to get away for a couple of days just to be together. In fact, I turned my phone off for almost 2 weeks. And that was incredible, by the way. I highly recommend that if you get the chance. But during our time away, something very interesting happened. Excuse me. I call it lost in translation, right? Chelsea says to me, I don't miss the kids at all, right? I forget where we're having coffee or something in the morning over breakfast. And as soon as she said that, I just jumped in. I said, oh, my word, thank you for saying that. It's been the most amazing summer. You know how much I love our kids. Zion 16, Elliot 13, Grace 11. I am in love. I am obsessed. I love these kids. But, oh, thank you for saying that. I don't miss them either. This is so rejuvenating. I so needed this time. I missed you so much. I love bonding with you. They're going to grow up, and they're going to move out, and they're going to get married, and they're going to leave us. So I love you, and I choose you. And I just went on this diatribe, right? And Chelsea goes, thanks, babe. Wait, what? And I go, you said you don't miss the kids at all either. Neither do I. That's so, we're on the same page. We're so synced up. And she goes, I just said I missed the kids so much. True story. And I was like, yeah, me too. Too late. You know, it's like, I already heard that you don't miss the kids. And I think I went on like a 1 minute, that's a long time of like agreeing with her. And we just kind of chuckled and laughed. And in fact, I was talking to Chelsea this morning before, obviously, all of us joining live. And I said, hey, what are some moments where you've said something, I've heard something different, it's been lost in translation. And I quote this morning, my wife, Judah, it's happened so many times lately. I can't think of one instance because there's too many. Thanks, babe, for that and Sunday morning encouragement. That was amazing. But aren't we funny? How we hear what we either want to hear or we think we should hear or we're supposed to hear, it's oftentimes what we hear. For instance, when I say Jesus, a lot of people, when they hear the name of Jesus, or the name of his followers, Christian, what they hear is judgment. What they hear is, and I don't mean just God judging humanity for sin, but what they hear is his followers, his messaging, his life is about people not good enough. People need to do better. People need to be kinder. People need to try harder. People need to attend church. People need to read his book. People need to open doors for each other. People need to lay down their life. People need to stop fighting. Jesus, judgment. Christians, judgment, right? Don't judge me. Right? I mean, that's the whole feeling. There's a lot of people right now who are watching on Church Home. And one of the reasons you've decided to join an app or watch online is because at least you don't have to walk into a building and feel judged. Right? I mean, do you have any friends? I know I do. I've invited to church and they're like, ah, man, I can't be doing church, bro. I don't have the right clothes. I don't know the right lingo. I don't read the Bible. I think the place will burn down if I walk in, Judah. I can't do it. And usually the catch is like, hey, listen, I'm doing some public speaking. I want you to come. Just come hear my speech, right? And they're like, all right. You know, that's kind of how I'll get sometimes my friends even in the door of the church, because when it comes to Jesus, Christianity, faith, religion, doctrine, dogma, theology, the world seems to bristle at the fact that, oh, here comes the bad news. Here comes the judgment. Here comes, right? Here comes the preacher, right? Here comes the tone of the preacher, just the tone of the preacher. Are you like me? I've been in more church services than I can count. I've heard more sermons than I could possibly add up. And oftentimes the tone makes me feel, makes you feel, makes us feel like we're wrong, we're bad, and we should just do better. So here's an interesting question. When Jesus speaks in church, what's the tone? What's the message? That's an interesting question, isn't it? I mean, it's like, man, I just wish we could hear Jesus. You know, we get Judah. We get Bishop Jenks. You know, we get Andy Stanley, or we get Bishop Bronner, or we, you know, think of all the different pastors and leaders that you love. And I love Pastor Darius Daniels. I love Pastor Chad Veach. I love Pastor Rich Wilkerson. I love Pastor Bryden. And sometimes, though, we wish, if I could just hear Jesus, I wouldn't know. What if there was a way we could go to the church where Jesus speaks? What if there's a way we could hear Jesus read the scripture, speak the scripture, preach the scripture? I wonder what he would say. I wonder what his message would be. Well, I got exciting news today. You don't have to wonder. We actually have record. We have on our hands today, quite possibly the very first time Jesus ever reads the scripture in the temple, or today the equivalent would be essentially the church. What does Jesus read? What does Jesus say? And what is his tone? Is Jesus here? Is 2020 the result of judgment? Is that what we're experiencing? Is this the judgment of God? And Jesus stands up in the church. They hand him the scroll of Isaiah. Did they hand him Isaiah 61? We don't know. Many people believe that they handed him potentially a collection of scrolls. And Jesus chose Isaiah 61. And he reads, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and I have come to bring hope for the poor, freedom for the brokenhearted, new eyes for the blind, to preach to prisoners, you're free, for the time of God's great acceptance has begun. I didn't see that coming. Maybe you didn't either. The cultural connotation we have to Christianity and preachers and church, more often than not, is judgment, is wrath. And Jesus says, well, a new era has begun, and I am announcing it today in church. The time of God's great acceptance has begun. Now, why have I repeated that three times already in our sermon here? Because what we often hear is the time of God's great judgment has begun. In fact, there are Christians as we speak, and we all mean well, and we're trying our best, but we are praying that God will not judge. He has no intentions of judging this country or your country. The time of God's great judgment has begun. No. Jesus' message to the church, when Jesus preaches, when Jesus reads the scripture, when Jesus steps on stage, do you know what his announcement is? The time of God's great acceptance has begun. Another way to say it is literally the years when God will accept man has begun. The years, the decades that God will accept, the centuries that God will accept man are upon us. I love the part as it continues. It says, everybody in church stared at Jesus. Right, so he walks off stage, he sits down, and everyone is still looking at him. And they wonder if he's going to say anything else. Will he explain it? Will he follow it up with an explanation or a declaration or a statement? And this is such an amazing part. Jesus, seated now in church, says, these scriptures came true today, right in front of you. And it was those words that ultimately began an extraordinary offense. For his own people thought to themselves, he speaks as the prophet. He speaks as the Messiah. He speaks as the fulfillment of the prophet Isaiah. And they began to be offended. Jesus did not claim to merely be a teacher. Jesus did not claim merely to be an example. Jesus did not claim merely to be a model. Jesus did not claim, hey, this is a better way to live your life and it'll be, and you'll be nicer and kinder and more loving and caring. No. Jesus declared that he was the only one that could save us from our error, our wrong, our selfishness, and our sin. And he declares, the years we are in. Did you know that 2020 is the year of God's great acceptance? Did you know 2020 is the year that God accepts man? Do you know 2020 is a year of forgiveness and grace and mercy and love? Do you know that's what this year is? This year is not defined by the grappling of men and women in power for more power. That is not what 2020 is about. 2020 will not be taken by those who will not administer justice and will marginalize peoples and people groups. That is not what 2020 is. 2020 is the year of God's great acceptance. 2020 is a part of the era where God accepts man. 2020 is the year where we declare again, this scripture is fulfilled right in front of us in the person of Jesus. This is not the era of judgment. Now, again, if we hear, remember Lost in Translation, I miss the kids so much. And I hear, I don't miss the kids at all. Why? Because that's how I felt. Think about it. That's how I felt. It's not what my wife said. And 4 seconds after she said what she said, approximately, 6 inches probably from my ear, I heard something totally different because that's what I felt. That's what I felt. And that's oftentimes what we do with Jesus, because we feel like there is judgment, or we feel like something's wrong, or we feel like God is mad, or we feel like God is distant, or we hear from others that this is what God is like and this is what Jesus is like. And so instead of hearing great acceptance, we hear great judgment. And when you hear great judgment instead of great acceptance, it begins to shape your world view. See, for those of us that see that this is an era of great judgment, we will begin to draw lines that Jesus does not draw. We will begin to put each other in categories Jesus did not create or condone or sponsor. These minuscule, mundane, temporarily man-made categories, parties, definitions, subcultures. I think oftentimes we buy into some of this because we believe that we are to join God in administering the great judgment. And so, if we're honest, my fellow Christians, we believe that part of our role is to declare judgment, some in, softer forms. Well, unless you, then God will. And we begin to be administrators of judgment. I want to say it again. Jesus has not come to bring an era of judgment. He has come to bring an era of acceptance. Church home, this community and this church is committed to embrace, proclaim, and declare that the time of God's great acceptance has begun. In fact, we are now approximately 2,000 years in to the time of God's great acceptance. What does God's great acceptance mean? It means that God loves you. God is available to you. God welcomes you with open arms for all who simply believe. Maybe you've heard of John 3:16, but maybe we need to spend a little more time in John 3:17. John 3:16 is very important. John 3:17 is also important. Listen to what it says in John chapter 3 and verse 17. God did not send his son into the world to usher in an era of judgment and condemnation? God did not send Church Home into the world to judge and condemn the world. We do not exist to judge and condemn the world. Christians, you do not exist to judge and condemn the world. For Jesus did not come to judge and condemn the world. And now we follow in his footsteps. So we have not come to Los Angeles to judge and condemn Los Angeles. We have not come to Brazil to judge and condemn Brazil. We have not come to Nigeria to judge and condemn Nigeria. We have not come to the Middle East to judge and condemn the Middle East. We have not come to London to judge and condemn London. We are not in Nashville to judge and condemn Nashville, but to see, Jesus says, I've come to be, the scripture declares, its savior and rescue it. I've come to save and rescue. I've come to save and rescue. That's what our church is about. Our church is about the savior, and our church is about the rescue. Our church is about the great acceptance, the era that began some 2,000 years ago and yet evidently and sometimes overtly and obviously has become lost in translation. The church is not a home of judgment and condemnation. And that is why Jesus stood in the church of old, and he stood there and they handed him the scroll of Isaiah, and he specifically went to Isaiah 61 verses 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And he declared, I am the anointed one. For the prophet Isaiah, thousands of years, he dreamed of a day where one would come, the superhero of all time, the Messiah of all the ages, and he would come, and he, by his power and his power alone, would usher in a whole new era that will not stop until the heavens give way and they meet earth, and there will be a new heaven and a new earth, and it will be perfect, and we will live in eternity without end. That's the plan. That's the plan. For the time of God's great acceptance has begun. We need to let this sink in, because this has to affect our social life. This has to affect our family life. This has to affect our parenting. This has to affect our marriages. This has to affect our friendships. This has to affect our communication. This has to affect our social media action. This has to affect our temptation to cancel different people. This has to affect everything. This has to change our perspective. This has to keep us from choosing sides. Let's choose people. Whose side are you on, Pastor? I'm on the Lord's side. Oh, what does that even mean? It means I am committed to the time of God's great acceptance. It means I have decommitted, if you will. I have uncommitted. I have canceled a lifestyle of judgment and condemnation, for I have been set free, and freely I have received, and freely I will give. You might find this so arbitrary, but I liked some photos and friends and people on Instagram that frankly see this country right now very differently than I do. And I did that to declare to myself, I choose the time of God's great acceptance. I choose the message of forgiveness and love and grace. Let me take you to another scripture. John chapter 12 and verse 47 says this. If you hear my words and refuse to follow them, I do not judge you. If you hear my words and refuse to follow them, I do not judge you, Jesus says. For I've not come to judge you. I've come to save you. I've come to save you. There's a savior in your neighborhood, and he's not looking to condemn you and judge you. He's looking to forgive you, accept you, and love you. Think about it. I'm overwhelmed today with the amount of content along these lines, and I could go for hours But this is so important. But oh, how it's got lost in translation. Oh, I don't miss the kids either, babe. Judah, 4 seconds ago, I said the exact opposite of what you just heard. I mean, if that is true, with my wife 6 inches from my ear talking to me, how easy it must be to lose sight of the era Jesus ushered in. I want to say something. People do not decide the era we are in. God does. And this is the era of great acceptance. It's incredible. In conclusion, I want to read to you Isaiah 61. In fact, I'd like to read to you even a longer passage than even Jesus read. But this is the sermon of Jesus today. What are we doing? We're looking at a sermon Jesus preached in church. I just want to hear from Jesus today, Judah. Okay. Listen now. Thousands of years before Jesus, the prophet Isaiah penned these words under the inspiration of God, the creator of heaven and earth. He penned these words with a sense that there would come one, the great hero, superhero, the Messiah, who would in fact fulfill those words. And that is why Jesus said, I read this prophecy from thousands of years ago, and now it's being fulfilled. I am the one Isaiah craved. It says Isaiah 61, verse 1. And I end here. The Spirit of God, the Master, is on me because God anointed me. He sent me to preach good news to the poor. Good news to the poor. Remember, he says, this is why he sent me. To heal the brokenhearted. To bring healing to those crushed by tragedy. Announce freedom to all the captives. Pardon all the prisoners. God sent me to announce the year of his grace. The year of his grace. It's the era of his grace and a celebration of God's destruction over our enemies and to comfort all who mourn, to care for the needs of all who mourn in Zion. Now listen to language now. To give them. Do you know who them is? It's you. It's me. To give them this now. The rest is what Jesus will grant us, what Jesus offers us, what Jesus gives us as he is the Messiah and his death, burial, and resurrection will grant. This will be our reality. He says, I will give them. That is you. Please hear me. This is for you. Jesus says, because of my death, burial, and resurrection, I'm going to give you a bouquet of roses instead of ashes. I'm going to give you a message of joy instead of news of doom. I'm going to put in you a praising heart instead of a crushed spirit. Woo, man, hear this. I'm going to rename you, Jesus says, because I'm going to beat death, hell, and the grave. I'm going to predict my death and my resurrection, and I'm going to pull it off. And when I do, you will know that I have granted you righteousness. That is right standing with God. And the Bible says, the prophet Isaiah says, I will rename you oaks of righteousness. Oh, I need to hear that on this Sunday. I said, I need to hear that on this Sunday. I'm an oak of righteousness. I'm an oak of righteousness. You, my friend, shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of living water, and your roots will go down deep, and you will bear fruit in your season, and you will remain. You are an oak of righteousness. I want to talk to every single person who has received the free gift of forgiveness that only Jesus offers. By doing that, you are not a reed. You are not a leaf. You are not floating through this life. You are not anchorless. You are not homeless. You have a home. You have an anchor. You have roots. You are grounded. You are an oak of righteousness. You know what grounds me in these times? My righteousness. You know what gives me stability in these times? My righteousness. You know what gives me confidence in these times? My righteousness. What is your righteousness, Jesus? The Bible says he who knew no sin became sin so that I could become the righteousness of God. I'll tell you what my righteousness is. It is like a robe. See, I used to wear a different robe, and it was not a robe. It was rags, and it was the rags of my deeds. It was the rags of my selfishness. It was the rags of my self-preoccupied self-preservation and seeking to save myself. And it was rags and it was broken, and I'm broken. But there came one who was not broken at all. He was perfect, and he became my brokenness. He took upon himself my rags. He took upon himself the penalty for my selfishness and my error and my sin, and he robed me. He clothed me in his righteousness, and that makes me like an oak in 2020. Let's talk to 2020 again. Hey, 2020, you're treating me like I'm a leaf, but I'm here to tell you I'm an oak. I'm not going anywhere. Your winds may blow, 2020, and boy, they've picked up and the winds are strong, but my roots of righteousness are deeper and I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. Not by the injustice of man, not by the manipulation of power, not by the groping for power and fame and money and renown. I shall not be moved. For those who know their God will be strong and do great exploits. I want to tell you who you are. You're an oak. You're an oak, mom. You're an oak, dad. You hear me, single parents? You're an oak. You hear me? You're an oak. You're an oak of righteousness. You're an oak of righteousness. So much more to say. Planted by God. You know why? To display his glory. Do you know what his glory is? It's his goodness. It's the essence. Anytime you see glory, you can replace it with goodness. You know why? He's given you righteousness so that the world would look at you. Even as you bend in the wind, but you do not break, the onlookers will stand back and say, what keeps you from breaking? And we will tell them, it is not my deeds. It is not my doctrine. It's his goodness. It's his goodness. It's his goodness. You and I may bend, but we will not break, for we are oaks of righteousness planted by God to display his goodness. He says, that's you and me, they'll rebuild the old ruins, raise a new city out of the wreckage. Raise a new city out of the wreckage. I'm going to tell you what we're doing, church home. We're raising a new city out of the wreckage. We're raising a new kind of church. We're raising up a new model, global, mobile, around the world, in your home, like a family. We're going to make sure every single individual is connected. Every single individual is loved. We're not just going to fill buildings and go back in our cars and go about our regularly scheduled program. No, we're going to love. We're going to connect. We're going to listen. We're going to care from our homes, from our neighborhoods, from our cul-de-sacs, from our apartments, from our dorm rooms, from our townhomes, from our high rises. We're going to rebuild a new kind of church out of the wreckage. Jesus goes on. You'll hire outsiders to herd your flocks and foreigners to work your fields, but you'll have the title priests of God, honored as ministers of our God. You'll feast on the bounty of nations. You'll bask in their glory because you got a double dose of trouble. And more than your share of contempt, your inheritance in the land will be doubled. And your joy go on forever. And your joy go on forever. And your joy will go on forever. Did you hear the promise of the fulfillment of the prophet Isaiah? Jesus is telling you today, your joy will go on in a place called forever. See, forever is also a place, and it's a place that is home, and it's called heaven. I've said it before, but in a day like this, I must say it again. This is not your home. How we crave to make our home here, but we were never meant to. This is not our home, not in this condition, not in this state, not in this plight, the chaos, the calamity, the categorizing, the ranking, the devaluing, the esteeming, the despising of one another. This is not home. So let us not treat it like it is. We are here to get a message out. And that message is God's great acceptance is for all by simply believing in Jesus. But I'm going to be home someday. And if you don't mind, I promise I'm stopping right here. I'm done right here. But you hear me, church, I'm going home someday. And so are you. But for now, we are missionaries. And for now, we stay to get a message out. That's so good, it's hard to believe. In fact, it's so good, many people have concluded it can't be. And so they choose condemnation and judgment and rules and regulations and traditions. We focus on morality and character and man's performance more than the hero of all the ages. Instead of preaching Jesus, we preach character qualities and concepts that we think will improve our performance and somehow make us better. Better, quite possibly, maybe even than those around us. Better, maybe, than those we've never even met or cared to listen to. No, that is not the era that is upon us, for it is the era of God accepting men. That's our message. And so we will get that message out in whatever way it takes, and we will not stop. And though we bend, we will not break. But I assure you, my day is coming and your day is coming. And I am not going to cry this Sunday because I've been crying in every other sermon. So I'll just say this, there's coming a day where he will wipe every tear away and we will have joy forever. See, my roots are in another realm already. They're in a place called eternity. And eternity seems to hold on to me. Trust me, son. Stay here, son. Bend and do not break, for I've made you an oak of righteousness, and I will give you the courage and the strength and the fortitude that you will need to endure. But I assure you, he's going to wipe away your tears sooner than you think. And we will have joy inexpressible and indescribable. And how long will it last? Forever. So until I'm home, help me, help us, help this church preach your sermon, Jesus. Preach your sermon, Jesus. And they all stared at him in church. And he said, everything you've heard today is fulfilled right in front of you. Everything you're looking for is right in front of you right now. And he has a name, and his name is Jesus. Will you pray with me? God, I thank you for the minutes and moments we share. Oh, how I love this church. And to think it is laughable when compared to your love for church home. You love your children so much. God, remind us that our roots are deeper than we think. We are oaks, not of our personal performance. We are oaks of righteousness. Thank you, God. Lastly, if you're here today, you said, Judah, I would like to become a follower of Jesus. All it takes is one moment of faith. Said, Judah, I'd like to make that commitment. Just believe. To believe is to receive. Receive the free gift of forgiveness and righteousness that only Jesus offers. If you want to do that, Just raise your hand with me right now, wherever you are. I want His forgiveness. I want His righteousness. And you are forgiven forever right now in this moment. I know it's incredible. God, I thank you for every single person who has now opened up their heart out of their free will by your divine persuasion. Thank you, we're forgiven forever. We celebrate that in Jesus' name. If you've made that decision, or if there is any way we can serve you, strengthen you, help you, pray with you, talk with you, process with you, pastor chat. You can chat with a pastor, a leader in our community right now. And now it's 24/7 on our app. Please, if there's any way we can help you, there's going to be a digital meetup right after this, all kinds of ways to connect. We just want to serve you and strengthen you in your faith journey. I love you, Church Home. Thank you so much for joining us. I can't wait to see you on Wednesday, and I look forward to continuing these collections of sermons. I love you very much.